Hi, welcome to another of our Coffee Time Chats. Today we're joined by Paige Duke of Strategic Solution Partners, one of our expert partners. Strategic Solution Partners assist hotels, management companies and ownership groups in all aspects of hotel operation, focusing on improving overall performance and efficiency of the asset, as well as increasing the bottom line. Paige has worked with brand owned, brand managed, franchise models and independent properties. She has led teams of up to 70 individuals and has created an innate talent for diagnosing and fixing the challenges in sales and marketing with immediate results. Our discussion is broken into two parts. In this episode, part one, we're focusing on hotel group sales and some of the challenges Paige sees as hotels adjust to the return of group demand. She also highlights an over-reliance at times on strategy and less on tactics and tools to actually deliver. In part two, which will be coming out early next week, she offers some advice and solutions hotels can take on board to be better prepared as group demand continues to increase. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hi, Paige. Good to see you again. Thanks for your time today. How are things for you? Are you well?
They're great. How about you?
Yeah, very good indeed. Thank you. Well, thank you, as I say, for joining us. And in today's Coffee Time Chat, we're going to be discussing hotel group sales and some of the concerns, maybe a strong word, maybe even frustrations that you've seen when you look at hotels and how they are approaching this particular area. But before we get into that discussion, it will probably help our audience to kind of understand who you are, what you do, and why you're able to talk about this particular topic. So if you could just introduce yourself, that would be really great.
Certainly, yes. And so my name is Paige Duke, and my passion is helping salespeople and being in the mix within the sales world. I was told a long time ago, don't tell them, I've been in this for 30 years. And I mean, I feel old when I say that, so I don't like to say it either. But it's not how long you've been in the industry. It's what you can do for people in the consulting world. So I really like to say that really my passion is seeing movement and seeing success and seeing, you know, eyes light up. And that's, you know, that's the joy of my job.
That experience does bring credibility as well, doesn't it? Hopefully.
I do have a lot of metrics to talk about, so that's, you know, that I can talk to. So that's good as well.
And as you say, you love sales and obviously you work as a consultant. So just to drill down a little bit, what are the kind of things that you are working, that you work on, you support clients with?
Right. The most common request is that they've got an asset that's not winning in market share.
Okay.
And usually, you know, 80% of the time it's group driven with a little bit of, you know, leisure and transient and BT now thrown in. Mm-hmm. So that's the most common request. Okay. Some other requests that I get are just creating overall strategies to help with the success of the hotel. And the third most common is deployment, because things have changed so drastically. Mm-hmm. And the functionality of corporate offices have changed so dramatically that there's a lot of, and the brands as well. Mm. And everybody's undergoing so much change that there needs to be a little more here and less here. And, you know, and according to the business demands as well. So that is really a big job of mine, is to redeploy and say, okay, we're going in the wrong area. We would have been in the right area 3 years ago, but now we're not.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense then. If we're talking about group sales and that's a large part of the business for the portfolios that you work with. And I think picking up on your last point about how things have changed quite dramatically, that's probably a good segue to move us into our conversation. And maybe you could just talk to that a little bit. I mean, what is the current scene with regards to group sales? What are we seeing in the market? Is group business returning? Just give us a broad overview before we dive into a little bit more detail, please.
Absolutely. Keep in mind, I'm US based, mostly US. So definitely we are seeing a huge increase in lead flow for our hotels. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I've got, you know, one salesperson trying to handle you know, 15 leads a day.
Right.
And that's quite impossible because you know, they stack up and then you can't follow up right appropriately. So, the lead flow has definitely increased. Cvent is, you know, reporting some outstanding numbers, you know, getting close in some markets, getting close to the 2018, 2019 levels.
Wow.
The most shocking piece though, for me, is in many of the major cities, the timeline and the lead time of the RFP to operation has shrunk dramatically, right? It's like, oh gosh, we need to have this meeting, but we need to have it in 3 weeks instead of 3 months.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, and so we're throwing things together, but we've got other issues with operationally, right? Like how do we ramp up operationally in 3 weeks, you know, to make sure that this happens. So it's definitely, there's a lot of change and a lot of scurrying. And, you know, it reminds me a little bit of what happened after 2008 when meeting planners shrunk, you know, shrunk in size and their workload got higher. Hotel people's workload got higher and everybody was just in a big scramble.
And just picking up on that last point about 2008, a lot of people use that as probably the last point of where there was a great degree of economic trauma for the hotel industry, let's say.
Yes.
How similar was it in the sense of, I would say maybe from a staffing point of view, I could understand from a business point of view that may have flattened out, but
yes,
staffing seems to have been affected quite differently through COVID than it did through the financial situation. But again, I wasn't based in the US, so you can talk better to that.
I think more against the staffing. If you look back at 2008, many of our hotel brands managed their hotels, right? Many of the, you know, there wasn't as high of an owner versus operator versus brand, like a lot of the franchising that has gone on in the last, you know, 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah.
And with the franchising has created a lot of chaos for structures.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
So different management companies have different support groups. Some management companies have hardly any support groups. And so that makes a difference in how they staff. But some people look at it like, oh, well, they had two people before, they'll be fine now.
Right.
And it might not be the case if it's changing a brand, changing a management company, you know, all the different, you know, facets of the hotel industry. So I think that that has affected things more than anything else.
Got you. And maybe that's, again, looking at links through to the next area we want to talk about. So staffing is probably one area. And I know when we were talking, as we were putting this together, that there are some elements around that I know you want to touch on. But if we look as we're starting to return and going back to our original point of, you know, frustrations that you see, concerns that you see about how people are starting or approaching this increasing in group sales. I know there was one of the comments that you made when we were first talking about it was, there's always this talk about strategy. You hear so much about people talking about strategy, but no one ever seems to talk a great deal about, well, how are we actually going to go about delivering this and what do we need to deliver it? And I got a sense that was kind of the kernel of your frustration, is this focus on the word strategy and less on actually delivering. Is that a fair summary? Because I guess we need a strategy, don't we? So we're going to have one, but so what did you mean by that when you were kind of communicating that?
So I think that the biggest frustration that I see, and some contracts do ask me to help with both strategy and tactic, and there's a huge difference, right? Mm-hmm. The strategy is how you're going to get to a certain point. The tactic is what you do to get there. And people, you know, oftentimes the lines are blurred between the two. And they're very different in the sales world. And so I love making strategies. I feel terrible when I don't know if it's going to be proactively and tactically backed up.
Got you.
And so I love the contracts that actually let me get a little bit involved in kicking it off tactically. I'll give you a great example. Mm-hmm. One strategy could be, you know, we are going to prospect, you know, 50 calls a week. with each of our sales managers.
Yeah.
And you go to the sales manager and you say, okay, how are you going to, you know, who are you going to call? How are you going to get that list together?
Yeah.
Blank stare, you know, and you don't want to make them feel bad because consultants are, you know, a little bit intimidating and, sure. and you know, but it's, they don't know. And as I joked with you before, I have a daughter that's in hotel sales that she calls me all the time because she doesn't know what to do. and she's never been formally trained. And it's wow. just, it seems very, it's just, and I know that there's a lot of salespeople out there that are in a similar situation. And as a mom, of course, you know, I love helping my daughter, but I see it all the time in the faces of other salespeople and it breaks my heart.
But your job, you know, your job as a mom is slightly different to as a trainer for the job.
It is. And sometimes it's not. So, you know, but I really, I mean, truly, I have a lot of empathy for, you know, I had a lot of advantages in my career. And one of them was I was provided with outstanding training. Mm-hmm. Now I hated doing it. Oh my gosh, 3 days out of the office. I hate it. But I still go back to a lot of the basics all the time that I learned early in my career. And, you know, I'd say that probably, you know, most of the salespeople I see under the age of 30 and 35 have never been to a training.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite frightening.
It is. It's very, I mean, you're just throwing them in there and saying, hey, you know, make it happen. You know how to talk to people.
Yeah, it's that classic, you've got the gift of the gab. So just go out there and chat.
Right. And really, truly, the gift of a good salesperson is understanding how to listen mm-hmm. and how to translate that information. Mm-hmm. And so it's really a conundrum in the hotel industry and something that I really feel passionate about to say, hey, let's not only just, you know, throw out these, you know, top 10 tactics of how we're going to get there, but also provide the tools. Like some of them don't even subscribe to any of the tools. So how are these people going to find anything? You know, they don't, and then they don't provide the training. And if they do have the tools, they say, oh yeah, we go in it all the time. And then I go in and I see that nobody's signed in 3 months. And so it's just, you know,
So you are going in to hotel companies that have been yes. doing this for goodness knows how many years they've been operating. Yes. Mm-hmm. And they have a sales force that maybe they haven't trained and they potentially don't have even a fundamental basic sales tool, or if they do have it, it's not being fully utilized.
I mean, correct.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a bit shocking, right? I mean, I have been absolutely stunned and shocked in my experience. And you know, in a heartful way and in an empathetic way to say, you know, have they not backed up? And, you know, it's hard to sit in a training. I had to retrain myself on a tool that has been updated vastly in the last 5 years. I was like, wow, they have upgraded this tool a lot. But it took me, you know, 4 or 5 hours to get to through the training. Mm-hmm. That can be tough, but the results of that are fantastic.
Yeah.
Right. And so it gives me kind of a passion to use the tool and show people and help people through it. And once they discover it, and that's why I talk about, you know, the eyes brightening up. I love to see that because it's like, oh my gosh, look what I can find and look who I can call and try to get more business from.
I mean, those two things alone are quite frightening. When you look at probably one of the biggest challenges is staffing at the moment.
Yes.
People left their jobs. People aren't coming back to the jobs. You look at all the surveys that are done as to why, what people are looking for mm-hmm. in their roles, and often quite near the top. It isn't always pay. It might be working mm-hmm. environment. It often will be they want the tools to be able to do the job. They want correct. To see how they can improve and develop. Well, that's done through training. So you could probably look at the top 5 or 6 things that people consistently on surveys are looking for would be tools and training. And those are yes. two things that haven't been prevalent and still seem to be way off the radar in terms of how people are approaching this, which I guess... I didn't expect it to be quite that dramatic. So, but I guess that leads into then your frustration, where there is this overly focused attitude on we have this great strategy, and it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, but you don't have tools and you don't have the people that are in the right place to be able to go out and do it.
Right. And I mean, most of the time, of course, you know, people want to do a good job. Yeah, Everybody wants to do a good job. And salespeople want to, you know, want to provide the tactic behind the strategy. They want to do it. They don't have a non-desire to do it. It's just that they don't know where to turn and they don't want to admit it. Right.
Yeah.
And we're all used to, you know, we try to, we all want to be experts coming out of college. And, you know, we know that we can do it all and we can, you know, have it all. And so it's, you know, it's tough and it takes, and the hard part for me is that you have to develop a trustful relationship with someone to say, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. So I just have to assume that they don't know what they're doing and just kind of go through the exercise to say, hey, you know, have you ever like looked at this or ever looked at that, you know, just as a, you know, 101. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, and then after a while, I hope that I'll say, hey, you drive, you go through the tool, you show me what you found recently. Mm-hmm. And those are the rewarding parts of my consulting job, is to see people succeed, obviously, and to see hotels succeed. And it's such a simple thing. And it's just such a simple thing. Right. And yet we've got so many people out there not doing it. And so it's tough. Yeah. It's a little crazy.
I just want to pick up, because obviously when we're focusing on training and technology, for instance, or tools to do the job, that's, mm-hmm. that's kind of the, okay, so we've got our strategy, we're developing our tactics, and now I'm going to go out and actually apply it.
Mm-hmm.
If we're saying that that's a major issue, hate to say this, assuming, because I think I know where the answer's coming here, but if I go further up the chain,
mm-hmm.
and we're looking at the strategy, the starting point of having developed the strategy is that we are effectively communicating the strategy and we are making sure that people are bought into it and that we have the right people in the right place to go and do it. So from your experience, how, if all of these people are talking a lot about strategy,
mm-hmm.
how well are you seeing that being communicated down to those that then need to, you know, even if you're not developing the tactics, but someone knows, okay, at least I know where we're going. I can build the tactics. I may have the tools, but are you seeing that communication of the strategy down the chain so that people understand clearly what's required and that they're, mm-hmm. and that they're getting the buy-in? I mean, surely that at least is there.
Right. Sometimes there, sometimes not. You know, I walk into different environments and there are high functioning environments, and those uh-huh. environments have three basic things. They have visuals up in their office, mm-hmm. that they know where they're going and how they're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Visuals. Second thing is you join a pipeline meeting, you know, which is, you know, they go over all their prospects. And if the staff knows over 50% of them by heart, sometimes the best A players know every single, like with very few little, oh gosh, I'm not sure on that one, but they know every single one by heart. Oh, I called them yesterday, got voicemail. I'm trying to get an appointment for Thursday, Friday to do this, this, and this. They're very specific. They're very, you know, very straightforward. And I go into environments that they're like, they don't know what's in their pipeline. They don't know what's happening with them. That's a problem.
Absolutely.
And then the third thing is obviously leadership and mentorship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously a good sales leader will provide that mentorship and give them a fun learning environment to be able to really feel that success. And, there's many, many cases now that the leaders above property, and so you've got salespeople on property that are kind of working in a silo. And, you know, how do you get them to have that mentorship like you and I are doing on Zoom, right? Yeah. And so, you know, those are the three really simple things, right? So visuals up in the office. It seems like such a silly thing, right?
Mm.
But if you don't have a goal, you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
Number two is the pipeline meeting. And the third one is just the mentorship and leadership opportunities for the sales team.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So The easier side of the equation is finding the problems and identifying the problems. Coming up with things that people could be doing to improve, put right, address some of the issues that you've highlighted can mm-hmm. be tougher, hence why, you know, people like yourself are able to go out there and build a successful business and help a load of hotel clients to be more productive. Mm-hmm. So could we just touch a little bit then, as you've nicely summarized what some of the challenges are and where they sit, could we move a little bit into talking about what are some of the things that maybe some simple, I hate to use the phrase low-hanging fruit, but maybe some of the areas where you first go in and you think, okay, these are some of the problems I tend to see, these are some of the solutions I can bring to play.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Paige for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. That also means you won't miss part two next week. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.